studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap today?
Today, we're going to look at the fallout from the trade deadline, pick through the detritus of the Rams game, and get ready for the showdown with the Patriots. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got...
defense!
We got the bad, we got...
no tempo on offense.
We got the ugly, we got...
former Packers running back, Ty Montgomery. Adieu, Mr. Montgomery, who is now in Baltimore and already wearing a Ravens uniform and running around at practice in Baltimore.
Womp, 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 womp.
How do you feel about that, Mr. Banky?
About Ty?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just making sure audio works. I can't help myself.
You've got an army of people out there making sure the audio works, but no.
What are my feelings?
I don't know.
Here's
what the show is about, Banky. It's about your feelings.
Well, apparently the show is about...
oh, dear.
No, apparently, according to our fans, this show is about you knowing everything about football and me knowing nothing.
That's not. That's what one disgruntled commenter thinks about the show. And you can't let the bastards get you down, Banky.
You know how I am, though.
I know.
Anyway, Ty Montgomery.
Right.
You know, I think you kind of called it. I was surprised at all the reactions, and it looked like they were going to trade him. And you know, you watched Mike McCarthy's press conference yesterday.
Yep.
And
Monday.
Sorry, right. every day feels like yesterday. Right. And
every day feels like yesterday.
And you know, you just kind of felt like it was coming down the pipe. It's been a very interesting time. Here's the thing about Ty Montgomery that I can't get out of my head, right?
Right.
Okay, coming out of the end zone, okay, whatever.
Right.
Like, whatever you think, I've said my piece on Twitter about that.
Right.
My biggest problem is, some players have this inability to step back, right?
Right.
And, you know, the only thing I want to know before I close the chapter on the book, and I'm never going to know it, and
right.
So I'll just close the chapter, but is how does a player bitch about playing time
right.
when they're looking at a player ahead of them that has literally 2 more yards per carry on average?
Right.
Right? Like, to me... regardless of him bringing the ball out of the end zone and whether, you know, whether it was
his
called out of the end zone, whether he betrayed the team, whatever you think about that.
Right.
The bigger issue is that you're not putting, you know, I know NFL players are selfish as they should be, right? We're players, they're professionals, but
yes.
You're clearly not putting the team first.
Right.
If you're bitching about playing time and there's a guy who is clearly better than you.
Right.
So
right.
that's my
but
problem with Ty Montgomery.
The thing is, though, is that if you are said player, you aren't thinking like that. You're thinking, well, he's getting more opportunities than I am. You're thinking, well, they just took me off when I had a chance to do something. You know, these guys are incredibly driven. They're the best of the best. So I understand the mentality of wanting to make a play in that situation. But, man, it's just bad coming off of the sideline explosion / tantrum that everybody saw. It was funny. After the Mike Silver piece dropped pretty much overnight, that Sunday night, I think it was, I had so many people asking me, like, well, do you know if this happened? Do you know if this happened? Like, it wasn't hard to kind of verify because literally everybody who was on the sideline saw it. I talked to 2 players specifically who saw it happen. But on top of that, people, fans in attendance – behind the visiting bench saw it happen as far as Ty being heated after getting pulled from the offensive series. So it's like, so we know that happened. Now, I can't say what the man's mindset was,
yeah.
what was in his heart when he decided to take the ball out of the end zone. I can tell you that I do not buy for a second what he was saying at his locker on Monday
no.
when he's talking about, well, you know, there's always the option to bring it out. Yes, I was told to stay in. But, you know, I was afraid the ball was going to land on the goal. Stop. just don't.
Well, yeah, he's like, well, you could leave it up to the refs. Yeah, exactly.
And then the thing that really capped it off for me, as far as when this is when I knew he was gone. Like it was either he was going to get traded or he was going to get cut. Was when he said, "I have a real problem in this locker room because I can't trust these guys because someone went and blabbed to the. You have the audacity." To sit there the day after. You didn't even say anything the moment it happened. Didn't face the press after the game.
Yeah.
Like a coward.
Yeah.
Like you waited until Monday to sit there at your locker and call out the trust issues in the locker room because someone was heated enough to talk to Mike Silver after you literally took a W off the board.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, a potential W.
Potential W.
Off the board with your selfishness. That blew my mind. That absolute, and that was that moment when those quotes started coming out, and I think it was right before we went live on Daily on Monday, I was like, oh, he's gone. There's no way. And I love it. Untenable has been the word of the day on talk radio, on the internet, et cetera. It was like, because it was an untenable situation. There was no way they were keeping Ty Montgomery after Monday. That was just never going to happen. So the fact that Gutekunst got anything for the guy when everybody in the NFL knew he was going to get cut, is kind of like, kind of makes him Gandalf. He's kind of a wizard because to get anything for a guy that everyone knows you're going to cut, that's a win.
Yeah.
That's a win for your ball club.
I would agree with that. I also think, you know, it's not very often that Mike McCarthy calls out a guy on the 53 and says that he made a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
That's a rarity.
Very rare.
And Mike McCarthy.
He even danced around it. Like, he didn't say.
He did say he made a mistake, but
he's danced around, like, completely putting the fault on him. He said he was told, but he even went through the whole, you're trying to make a play, I understand that, blah, blah, blah. He didn't, like, put it all on him, which he could have and probably should have.
Well, and there were a lot of comparisons on Twitter on Monday about, you know, Randall Cobb and him bringing it out. And, you know, the time he brought it out was in the third quarter. It wasn't, like, a game-ending.
Game-defining situation.
And how, like, if Ty had just gotten a touchdown, it would, yeah. Yeah, when you get a home run after making a stupid mistake, everyone forgives you.
Yes.
But if you don't make the home run, they don't.
No.
That's literally how it works.
Welcome to life. Should we get to some Packers news?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about, you know, look, Aaron Jones right now has 6.2 yards per carry.
Did you do some research?
Okay, no, I did.
Did you do research?
No, I can find the nuggets,
did
Nagler.
Did you look at some
Nagler.
Nuggets?
Nagler.
This is amazing.
I can find the nuggets, okay? Okay, Aaron Rodgers.
He's the quarterback.
He has 6.4 yards per carry.
As a rusher?
Yep.
Impressive.
And Aaron Jones has 6.2. Now, Aaron Rodgers is choosing plays, typically, that he knows that there's space in front of him, and he's going to get a decent gain.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones does not have that.
Aaron Rodgers is running when lots of guys' backs are to him. Aaron Jones is running with all eyes on him.
Yeah, and
a bit different,
you know. And to say, like, you know, Ty and Jamal were at, you know, Jamal's at 3.7, Ty's at 4 after last week's game. You know, that's a big deal, right? The difference between 4 yards per carry and 6 is, you know, positive and negative. You know,
a little bit.
4 yards is good.
It's still a win.
Yeah, but. You know, I think we're still in this place where we were 3 weeks ago where McCarthy is literally insulting every fan's intelligence by not playing Aaron Jones more.
Well, okay, whoa. I'm glad you brought that up because I want to point something out here. Now, because I had posted something. Oh, I posted the clip from Aaron's run, the draw play, the delay that went, you know, 22, 30 yards, whatever, for a touchdown. And someone retweeted, I don't remember who it was, but someone retweeted and said, and this guy only got 12 carries on Sunday. It's ridiculous. Okay, fine. But he far and away led running backs from snaps from scrimmage, like almost 2-1 over both Ty and Jamal. So that tells you he's playing more
than every
other back.
He's playing more.
But he's not getting at maybe as many opportunities as most people would like. But that's not all McCarthy. That's also Aaron Rodgers. And that's what never gets brought up.
But why can't
McCarthy's not giving him the ball?
But why can't
Aaron's not giving
him the ball? No, but why can't? Well, here's my question. Okay,
and the one time Aaron did give him the ball out of the fucking end zone is the one time he shouldn't have. He needs to rise up and fire to MVS on the slam play.
Oh, don't get me started.
My god, that play drives me nuts.
Here's what I don't understand though. Why can't we feature a back? What's the problem here?
Because there are a lot of options on every play.
Okay, let's
stop that. Let's get to Packers news. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Let's get to some Packers news because there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, Montgomery has been traded to Baltimore. We touched on that quite a bit, so we'll move right on to the other trade at the deadline yesterday. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, former Pro Bowler, traded to Washington. What do you think about that move there, Benke?
Here's what I think about that.
Yeah.
We are 19th in the league in interceptions with five.
Yep.
And Ha-ha has three of them.
Correct. Correct. Now, of those three, would you agree that two of them were a result of him being in good position? Yeah, he was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
One's an overthrow.
Yeah.
And one's a ricochet off the receiver's hands.
Yeah.
Both times, absolutely.
And then one is sick.
And one is an absolutely insane play against Buffalo. But two out of the three are being in the right place at the right time. I have the utmost confidence in Mike Pettine's staff that they will be able to find someone who will be able to be in those spots at the right time down the stretch here, the last 8-9 games of the season.
I mean, I have the utmost confidence that we can stay 19th in the league in interceptions. I don't know if
we can make a move.
Hopefully we can trend up, but I don't...
Never know.
You know, here's the other thing.
Especially if people keep throwing at Jaire Alexander.
Ultimately, what's crazy about the defense is this is going to blow everyone's mind. Oh, wait till we do defense.
All right. We got a lot of ball game left.
I'm waiting.
But I know how much you love practice squad moves.
Oh, Lord.
The Packers signed someone from the practice squad. Running back. Carson got called up to the 53. Kid who, you know, we don't know a lot about, wasn't in camp this summer, but he was signed early October, and now he's going to be on the 53-man roster. Probably only playing special teams. I would be very surprised if we saw him from scrimmage, at least on Sunday night. And then to take his place on the practice squad, they signed running back LaVon Coleman. So there you go, Banky. You yelled at me last time because I didn't include the practice squad moves. Practice squad moves included.
I'm falling asleep right now.
I know you are. So let's move on to some sad news. Bob Skronsky, rest in peace, passed away last night at 84 from Alzheimer's disease. I just wanted to include this in the show today, A, because it's Packers news, but B, because I think he's probably the most unheralded member of Lombardi's Packers, one of only 9 guys who was on every one of Lombardi's championship teams.
Mm.
A quiet guy, not a big quote. People don't really talk about him, but he was instrumental in making that offense go. He was absolutely outstanding as a blocker, one of the better offensive tackles to play in that era. No one really talks about him. No one's, you know, you think about it, all the names you think of when you talk about Lombardi's Packers, you think of features on television, things you read in the paper or online. He doesn't get mentioned a whole lot, but man, he was a really good football player. And I just wanted to give a shout out, a little respect to Skronsky, who was far and away one of the most underrated Packers of the Lombardi era. RIP at age 84.
I think when you think about sometimes lately, especially this season, as we lose these Lombardi legends,
right?
You know, you lament the loss of that era, and then I sometimes go like one deeper, you know, and you go to 44, and you go to 39,
right?
And you go to, you know, this era that actually set us. It was the time we finally put a flag into the NFL and said we have arrived
as
an NFL team.
As an entity,
right?
That is like recognized.
39 to 44 is really where we made our stamp. And after 44, we had this drought, right? We had the longest drought of our history of losing seasons, our second longest drought.
Which no one alive in the 70s and 80s would ever believe,
no.
But it's true.
And so it makes me think, like, I think about, like, how, you know, at my age, I never saw these guys play, but I got to see them. Like, I get to see them play on television because I get to see, like, the highlights, right? The black and white, the photos. And, like, it really makes me think about, you know, 39 to 44 and the championship teams before then and how, like, it's just missing, you know? It's, like, it's missing from our memory. And so... I don't know.
What I will say, that's what's pretty cool about this 100-year anniversary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of light being shown on those teams.
Well, I wish there was more. I'm going to say that, too.
I think there will be.
I hope there is. I hope there is. There because will. I feel like I love getting the 90s stuff. I love getting Lombardi. Of course. And, like, look, Lombardi—
But you know all that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
We have been seeped in that our entire lives. Obviously, we lived through the 90s.
Yep.
Growing up, you always read about the 60s.
Yep.
But like what you're talking about, Curly Lambeau's teams, we don't know a whole lot about them.
Well, and Curly Lambeau—
in the way that those other eras are.
And he had different eras. Like,
and
he
the media was
such
different,
a,
obviously, so 100%. We don't have as much to ingest.
And we do, we don't have the technology.
That's why I'm really interested to see what they do leading up to 100 year anniversary, the documentary that they're working on.
Yep.
That looks amazing. The book that Cliff Crystal is doing, that looks incredible. So that's the stuff where I'm like, I'm very excited for that reason. You can have finally some kind of tangible connection to teams that have been kind of lost through, you know, whatever reasons, through the modern era. But now we'll finally have some, at least some kind of touchstone that everyone can connect with.
Well, and we're talking about epic stuff too. It's not just this small town. It's like, it was David and Goliath before now.
10 times.
I mean, right. We played the Brooklyn Dodgers at Yankee Stadium in the 20s. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of blows your mind. You're like, wait, the Brooklyn Dodgers had a football team?
They sure did.
And you're just like—
And this little town team.
This an even smaller town than it is today.
Absolutely. Especially proportionally.
And New York is not much bigger than it— You know, it's bigger, but it still was a metropolis, right? And so— You know, and I know, I always say we do. I mean, I'm always fascinated with 1919 to 1940. That's kind of or 44 is where I kind of stop because I'm like, oh, who cares about the desert between 44 and 61, but or 59. But it is sad. It makes me think when I see legends that I saw on television, it always makes me think a couple layers and generations back to be like, you know.
The whole era that we're not talking about or thinking about or celebrating
ever.
So that's maybe an off-season project for Cheesehead TV. I think that's a good idea. Let's get back to
2018. Yeah, just what we should do. We should be more niche so that we can get less views.
I'm all in, dude.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Oh, what if Tom Brady was on Green Bay's team? What if Aaron Rodgers played for Belichick? I am so sick of that crap this week. Holy cow, and it's only Wednesday. And I already want to, like, die. So, you want more of that? I can give you more of that. But I'm ready to die.
No, I know what you want more of. You want more questions about Mike McCarthy's job tenure.
Oh, my gosh. We'll get to that. So, let's get to the offense, shall we? After a heartening yet ultimately unfulfilling outing in L.A.
I wouldn't say disappointing. I would actually say—
No, I thought they improved.
Mm-hmm.
Still, they go cold
for
extended periods of time. And I just wonder, what happened to tempo on this offense? I remember a couple years ago, actually, during a Monday night game, or it was a national game, where I had written something on Twitter about, like, oh my gosh, their tempo is crazy. It's so fast. And Ryan Grant had chimed in and said, that's all Mike preaches. It's just tempo, tempo, tempo. And then Crabtree chimed in on Twitter and was like, yep, absolutely, like, you got it. Go, go, go all the time. You're always pushing tempo. Whatever happened to that?
Mm.
Like, if I see another play that gets, you know, it's done. Okay, they're tackled, right? 40-second start clock starts. Everyone kind of moseys back to the huddle, kind of staying around. Sometimes they huddle. Sometimes they don't. Rodgers does this thing. Gamora gives him one of these. And then he looks around. He goes, gets the call. He's, yeah, okay. And then the offensive line kind of, okay, yeah. And the guys on the outside are like, what? And Aaron gives them one of these, you know, and they're like, okay. And then they get up to the line. Now we're at like, what, 15 seconds or so?
Sometimes 9.
And then 9, 10, whatever. And then Aaron looks around. It's like, okay, what are they doing here? And now there's like 5 seconds on the clock, and Aaron's still going like, oh, this and the other thing, and look at me and blah, blah, blah. And then there's 1 second, and then the ball is snapped. And it's like, at this point, it's week 9, whatever. Like, the defense knows, you get down to 2 seconds, the defense just pins their ears back and goes, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Because they know. They're not going to go offsides because the ball's going to get snapped, right?
Or they're going to get a delay game.
Or it's going to be a delay game on the offense. Aaron Donald absolutely wrecked things on Sunday because of this. Aaron Donald doesn't need the help. No NFL defensive player needs the help.
No.
And yet the Packers are helping them down in and down out, and it's driving me insane.
I think you're going to be surprised at something I'm going to lay down on here.
Ooh, lay it down, Banky.
Would you believe the Green Bay Packers The vaunted Green Bay Packers offense is fifth in the league
in
total offense, yards per game, and passing yards per game.
You know why I believe that? You know why I don't find that surprising? Because they've gobbled up so much yardage while behind in all these games early on in the season where they fell behind big time. And then teams just played this like soft cover two shell, soft prevent, you know, maybe cover four,
I hear
quarters
you.
Coverage.
I hear
and
you.
And then let them.
That's good enough for top 10
yardage.
But fifth in the league.
Over and over and over.
Fifth in the league.
I don't know, man. You can build up a whole reservoir of yardage.
In a
coming
league,
back from 20 plus
in a
points a game.
Dominated by offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that there's something
that's
to
fair.
Be said
that's
there,
fair.
Right?
That's fair.
You're not talking about like.
That's fair.
We're not talking about everybody's running the ball today.
No, of course not. Of course
right?
Not. Everyone's throwing it.
And even rushing yards are down this year. It's really
that's because it's
really
so easy to throw.
Exactly.
Everything points to throwing the football. And I tell you what, that just shows to me kind of how empty that stat is because it's like, when are those yards gained and what do they mean within the context of the game? Like some yardage
Engler.
Is more valuable than others.
Yes, of course. Get out of here with your context, though.
Sorry.
You know what?
Apologies. I am sorry.
Why are you trying to be so contextual?
I don't know. This is why your mother doesn't watch the show.
Exactly. just stop being negative. I'm trying to be positive.
Negative. I'm being negative.
That's a positive thing.
It is, but I'm trying
That's a green shoot, Nagler. That's a green shoot.
Right. Green shoots.
You
got
understand
it.
What green shoots
yes,
are?
Yes, I understand.
Remember potential?
Yes, I understand. Potential.
Remember that?
I remember that. Yep. That was Brett Favre.
There's green shoots.
That's like
you have to find them. You have to look for them.
Is that the first year of transplants?
Yeah, potential? First and second and third.
Yeah.
Potential. Right. We always have potential.
Potential.
You
know who doesn't, you know, I'm done with potential and he's arrived and it's just a question of getting him the football.
Get him the ball, please.
Aaron Jones, baby.
Please.
Is he finally free? Is he finally free? Can we finally free?
No, because
Aaron Jones.
No, you know why? Because we have practice squad players we got to now put in.
They're not.
They got to get chances.
He's not gonna get carries. Come on, they're not pulling him up from the practice squad and giving him carries against the Patriots. Come on, I'll eat my left arm if that happens.
Just one time, just feature the man.
I know.
What is the problem?
See, that's my thing. That's my thing. It's like it's one thing to say, and this is true, that there are options on plays, and Aaron's calling what he sees, and blah 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 blah. But can we build a game plan around the kid? Just one time. Just one time. He's clearly an offensive weapon. Let's feature him. Let's make him the focal point of the game.
I don't understand.
So you don't put it all on your quarterback.
I mean, he's not going to do it. It's like
no, he never will.
It's like you.
I'm just saying. What if?
Every week
we're in the alternative reality week where we're like, what if Tom Brady's arm was really on Aaron Rodgers' body? Like, let's you know, what if
every week?
What if
every week you put out a video tweet of a play
right.
And you're like. Can't we just do more of this? I'm sick of asking for dinking and dunking because he's not going to do it. And
he kind of did it. He kind of did it Sunday. A little bit. Not a lot.
Not enough to satisfy. Not enough to satisfy.
Well,
that's
true of every week.
You know,
no matter what
the other thing is, what planet was the offense living on?
Uh-oh.
When they found themselves
oh boy.
Inside of the opponent's end zone,
mm-hmm.
What planet were they on? Were they just like, all right, let's just run a play, guys. Like, guys.
Oh, you're talking about coming out of their own end?
Yes.
Oh, on the safety? All right. Well,
guys.
I'm just saying my piece.
Guys.
Because I've said this a couple of times on the radio this week.
Killing me.
But not everyone hears all my radio hits, so I'm just going to say it here for
posterity.
You're
on the radio?
Sometimes. Hmm. But I'm going to say it here on Transplants, so it's on record, so to speak, with Cheesehead TV. There are so many issues with that play. Starting with the selection of the running back. You finally have a spot in your game where you can actually conceivably say, you know what? We should probably use Jamal Williams here. And you don't. Like, it's the one time you need a bruising back. If you're going to run it. In middle.
But why are you running?
Against Aaron King Donald and Dominican
in the middle?
Donkey Kong Sue. Finally, here's a reason to use Jamal Williams and we don't. So, okay, fine. That's one thing. The second thing is McCarthy saying, well, you know, we used that run action earlier in the game and it popped for a big. You mean you used it in the middle of the field when the defense was actually playing a regular coverage as opposed to completely stacking the box with 8-9 dudes? Really? You mean the second time it wasn't effective? I am shocked. And then the third thing is everyone killing McCarthy when all Aaron Rodgers has to do. All Aaron Rodgers has to do is rise and fire to his left
to MVS, who is completely uncovered on the slant, and he's off to the races. Probably easily a first down, maybe a touchdown. Like, it drives me insane how everyone, like, every response to that video, you're talking about the videos I put up, that video, every response was killing McCarthy. And it's like, wait a second, Rodgers bears some blame too.
Yeah.
Because literally the drive before, they had almost the exact same formation, the exact same action, and Rodgers literally rises and fires to MVS. Like, you see they're absolutely, and that's the
but you
other
talk
thing
about,
that kills
you
me.
You want to talk about context, though. That is context,
Coach,
right?
The team you have. You're on your goal line. They did this back in Detroit a couple years ago. Like, oh, we're going to run it up the A-gap. Are you insane? What part of your team have you seen on film that makes you say, yes, we're road graders and we're going to completely plow over Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald? What drugs are you on?
Yeah.
I thought they tested for that crap in the NFL.
See, I just
I guess
said,
the coaches are exempt.
I just thought they were on another planet.
Good Lord. All right, I'm done. I had to get that out. I just had to get it out because, like, that's the crap that drives me nuts. And it's funny because I had someone with the Packers this week, actually earlier this morning, texted me and was like, you've been awfully tough on McCarthy lately. And I was like, it's like a big brother. I love the guy. I love Mike McCarthy. I think he's a great man. I think he's a good coach. But God, am I sick of some of his crap. The same thing happened with Favre at the end of Favre's tenure. It's like,
I think,
dude, I love you, but I am sick of your crap.
I think he's a brilliant coach, actually. And I think he gets in his own way with his complexity.
All the time.
Right?
All
to
the
your
time.
Point.
Yes.
It's self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. You have to self-scout yourself in the NFL.
Well, supposedly that's what they spent the bye week doing.
But they didn't because there's no, like, to your point, there is no way on God's green earth, right? First off, how many teams run up the middle when they're inside of, when they're in that situation?
At least not from a deep set with your back. Like, if it's a quick hitting fullback,
okay.
Maybe.
But how many teams do that and are successful, right? Giving a team, we gave the team a safety, right?
Yeah.
We gave a team a safety by our selection and our execution.
Yep.
So whoever decided the selection and whoever executed, that's who is to blame.
Exactly. All right. Moving on.
I wouldn't call that the worst play I've seen in my time as a Packer fan.
Not even close. Are you kidding me?
It's in the – no. It's
not even close.
It's not
even
ten.
Close.
It's
I've seen
way dumber
so
plays.
Much worse than
Fourth
that.
Fourth and 26.
I've seen way worse than that.
Brandon Bostic.
I lived through the Randy Wright era, people. Come on.
Also, can I just say, can Brandon Bostic just go away?
Come on, he was offering support for Ty Montgomery.
Just go away, Brandon Bostic.
He felt the kid because he'd made this huge mistake.
I really want to feel for Brandon Bostic as a human being, but I can't.
Hey, I'll tell
I
you
have
why.
A problem. No, I have a problem.
No, no, no. Okay,
I have
go
a problem.
First and then I'll retort.
No. I have
go
a
ahead.
Problem.
I know. Oh, you mean about Brandon Bostic. Sorry.
No. Yes. I don't have a problem with Brandon Bostic. Mm-hmm. I actually have a problem. I'm walking home, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm walking home with my girlfriend.
Right.
And I'm like so pissed off at Brandon Bostic. For whatever reason, right? Because of the Ty Montgomery thing,
right.
Because he tweeted, and because Brandon Bostic, because of 2014, because
right.
of that game, I'm still
of
pissed
course.
Off about it.
Of course you are.
And Rachel goes, "Just get over it." And I was like, "No." She didn't say get over it. But then she's like,
"Should have."
It's done.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Just move on.
Right.
And I literally go, "I can't."
I know. Well, you know what will happen?
I can't.
Eventually, something else will happen. Maybe this Ty Montgomery thing will overshadow it eventually. And, like,
no.
You forgot Jared Bush's name. You'll forget Brandon Bostic's name.
You know who let me forget about Jared Bush?
Brandon Bostic?
Yes!
Exactly. That's my point. Eventually, something will happen, and it'll allow you to move on from Brandon Bostic.
But you know that meme? There's this meme where the guy is sitting in the bed, and he's looking at this way, and the
and
woman
the
is
like, oh,
she's like, what's
yes.
wrong with
oh, what's
him?
What's wrong with him? He's clearly like,
he's upset with me.
He's upset with me, and he's like, whatever
Brandon
man
Bostic
thought you're having.
Just
yes.
let Jordy have the ball. And I'm arguing with my girlfriend about how, no, Jordy told him before the play
exactly.
to let the, ball,
let the
go,
ball go,
and he didn't do it. It wasn't like they told him the thing. And I'm like arguing, and it's 2018, and I still can't freaking get over it. It's ridiculous. I have a serious
okay.
issue.
Yeah, of course you do. One of many. But here, let me just put this in. But talk about context. Let me put this into context.
Cry.
All right? Brandon Bostic, the lowest point of his life, after the greatest mistake on the biggest stage that he will ever make, talked to the media and took accountability for his mistake immediately after it happened. Ty Montgomery refused to talk to reporters on Sunday.
And at that point, he was pretty much done.
And
I was over.
And that's where I go, can he just Bostic, go away? Because he's parlayed into a thing.
Well, of course. If that's what you're known for.
Yeah. Which is kudos to him.
I mean, I'll always have respect for him for that very reason. He took accountability for his mistake.
But I just need him on my Twitter feed.
We'll mute the guy. How hard is that?
I don't like muting people, Nagler.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm like a troll addict.
Oh, my God.
You know I'm a troll addict.
So you have the ability to solve your problem, but you refuse to do it. That's what you're telling me here.
Yep.
Okay. Finally, on the offense, MVS is here to stay.
MVS.
He is here to stay. Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb back. He still gets more playing time.
I like it.
Interesting. Interesting. Answering with a 40-yard touchdown where he absolutely smoked the corner of the attempted jam. I mean, this kid is here to stay. He ain't getting pulled.
No.
Like, I hope Geronimo and Randall are ready for, like, a rent share as the number four wide receiver because MVS has taken up residence.
Which I like. I mean, four wide with Geronimo, Cobb,
love it.
Devontae, all, you know, and MVS. I like that.
I love it. All right, fine. On to the defense. Okay, Corey, riddle me this. Riddle me this, Batman. What's the plan at safety now that they've moved Ha-Ha Clinton Dix to other pastures? What do you think?
I have no idea. I mean, clearly, are they going to do Breland at safety? Are they going to do Tremont at safety?
You see, that's what's funny is they started to do a little Tremont at safety on Sunday. So I do wonder if they, you know, they were having him kind of do bounce inside, do some stuff like a safety. I wonder if they, start going there. Now, my question there is, you can't do Tremont in the slot all the time or else you can game plan for it. So are we going to see Tremont in like a free safety position? That'll be very interesting.
Here's the thing that is going to blow everyone's mind right now.
Blow our mind, Binky.
Okay, here's a nugget I pulled.
Another nugget. Two nuggets.
Nugget
One
time.
Show.
It's nugget time. Amazing. Would you believe?
Probably not.
That the Green Bay Packers defense is fifth in the league.
It's like a trend. Fifth.
Yards per game passing. Would you believe that? Because that has not happened in a decade, if that holds out, by the way.
I would believe it because someone put it in my Twitter feed the other day. But
Egler.
Hey, man. You're on the pulse.
Egler, just act. Just act. You're an actor. Just act.
Right. Sorry,
surprised.
Sorry.
I'm shocked.
I'm a failed
it's
actor.
Yes and.
Oh, my God. Are they fifth? Really? That's amazing.
Just give a brother a
That's incredible.
Golly.
Oh, I didn't know this was Banky up.
It's always Pump Banky hour. Come on. When is it not?
Good Lord.
I mean, I got to get it here. I don't get it anywhere else.
But here's funny because, like, people talking about the pass defense, it's funny. I still get so many people like, they didn't trade for an edge rusher. What are they gonna, they don't have the pass rush. They sacked Jared Goff 5 times on Sunday. And I understand not everybody's Jared Goff. I understand they're about to face Tom Brady, who's probably going to pick us apart a little bit.
Yeah.
But 5 sacks don't just happen.
Nope.
That's teamwork. That's both ends working together. You know, Kyler Fackrell got in on the act. Always good. That's his first, like, legit wow sack of the year.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, he legit
I can't believe you're talking about Kyler Fackrell.
He did it, though. I mean, I got to give the man props. If I give him crap all the time, which I have done in the past, I got to give him props for that sack on Sunday because he beat one of the better tackles in the league, legit, like, in the midst of a game, not some garbage time crap Buffalo. Like, this was a legit meaningful sack. So I got to give it up to him. But Kenny Clark absolutely wrecked the Rams up front. They couldn't block him. They could not block him. That it's all coming together. And Mike Daniels played his best game in like a year on Sunday. So this is a good place that they're at. And I agree with what Gutekunst said earlier today. If they continue consistently what we saw on Sunday, if they can continue down that path, they're going to be tough to beat. It's going to be a tough team. I'm excited.
It's just what, you know, we can move to the next graphic we've been talking about for the graphic op. but to go back, like pulling a safety who's worth 2.5 times your interceptions, right? Over 50% of your interceptions.
Like I said, I have confidence that they can find someone who will be in the right spot to garner and gather those interceptions.
I hope so. I mean, a big part of that is going to be if Jaire Alexander can continue his play down the stretch.
You mean his alpha performance? I love Mike saying that on Monday. It was like, how did he grade out? Well, we grade that out like an alpha performance.
What is
how we grade that?
Is that above A?
That means he was a lead dog. That means he was, hoo, hoo. That means he was kicking butt. Alpha dog. Hoo. You know, like that. I mean, I didn't. That was Mike's internal monologue as he said that.
Got it.
But yeah, Jair Alexander, Bill Belichick, conference call yesterday with the local Green Bay media.
Everybody wants you to talk about this, so thank goodness we're talking about it now.
What?
Belichick's press conference that he gave to the Green Bay press.
Press conference. It was just a conference call.
But whatever.
But he said Jair Alexander. He's like, they loved him coming out, and they were hoping he would fall to the Patriots. And he said he thinks he's going to be a great corner in the NFL, and he's going to have a long career as a top corner in the league. That's high praise. And I know Belichick pumps guys up and pumps teams up before they play.
Yeah.
But this is consistent with what he said about Alexander prior to this, prior to him being like during other availabilities. So he's singing praises. Now, I wouldn't be surprised in the least if Belichick and company tried to test him a little bit. Just because, you know, you can't just shy away from the guy. But I tell you what, if he continues down that path, they got something there. They got a legit, I'm not going to say shutdown.
No.
They got a legit lead corner.
Yeah, well, if Casey Hayward or Sam Shields are any example, he'll just be gone in 3 years.
Okay, all right.
I'm supposed to be the positive one. Can we at least
enjoy him for a little bit?
Let's enjoy him for 2 years before he goes to the Patriots.
Oh, man, why you gotta be like that? All right, but speaking of the Patriots.
Because I just wish we valued cornerbacks a little bit more.
Well, maybe they'll start. Brian Gutekunst, we got a new general manager. They got a new general manager.
The
one who drafted two of them.
We had Sam Shields, one of the best cornerbacks in the league, win a Super Bowl for us, get injured, and they gave up on him.
After 2 years and an arrest.
We had Casey Hayward, who is now the second best cornerback in the league, and we gave up on him.
Well, after two down years, yeah. And you can't pay everybody.
So don't give up on Mason Crosby, but give up on cornerbacks.
Mason Crosby was one game.
What happened?
I always understood letting Hayward walk. We've talked about this so many times.
I don't
totally understood letting Hayward walk. I'll never understand letting Micah Hyde walk. That's just me.
Micah Hyde.
That's where I roll.
Well,
but that's,
you know, you can't blame it all in 2015. It just goes to show.
They drafted two corners.
It just goes to show how bullshit a statement draft and develop really is.
It can be, yes. But as Rodgers always says, the unspoken part of that is draft, develop, and pay. There's a third component that doesn't always come to fruition, but that is very much part of the Packers.
For a team that has historically always been under the cap and is currently $10 million
under the cap. You can bet
that's
they're going to roll that
corners.
Over. They're going to roll that over. You know that.
A couple corners.
Dude, their salary cap situation for next season is going to be insane.
Yeah, but they.
Like Cobb, Matthews, these guys come off the books. They roll over that $10 million. They're going to have like $40 million to play with. Probably more.
They're not going to use it. Guaranteed they won't use it.
They used it this year.
They won't use it.
They went and got Wilkerson.
They never
got Graham.
Used the money they have.
Okay. You're going to be like that. You're going to be that guy.
I just think they
get it off your chest.
They consistently do not spend the dollars to put the performance on the field. Okay?
Like making Aaron Rodgers
maybe
the
if
highest
they spent,
player in the history of the game?
Yeah, but there's money on the table.
I get that.
There's 2018 money on the table right now. And they can't spend it anymore. The trade deadline's dead.
The trade deadline's dead, but they can extend guys who are on the squad right now, and they eventually are going to have to pay Kenny Clark. They're eventually going to have to pay guys that are coming up. I mean, you're talking about Jair Alexander. He's going to be worth a pretty penny eventually.
Not next year.
No, but eventually. Like, that's the money. They save it for their own guys. I got no problem with
that. In 2014, if they just took some of that money and they spent it on a player, we might not be in the situation. We might have another Super Bowl.
Because Brandon Bostic wouldn't have been on the team?
Well, that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story. And you know what? I wish that I didn't know half the stuff you know, because that makes Brandon Bostic make what was worse for me, because you know some stuff that you told me and I don't like it.
All right. Should we move on? All right. Let's get back to their playing the Patriots on Sunday night. It's going to be a big showdown. And as we have discussed earlier in this program, and I will reiterate right now, I am beyond sick and tired of the Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady debate. /discussion/alternate reality nonsense has been going on Twitter all week. However, with all of that said, I freaking loved NBC's promo for this.
Oh, it was amazing.
Roll it, Gaff.
It's amazing.
Roll it.
A lot of talk going on these days about who is the greatest ever, about who has the titles, the raw talent, the most clutch moments. I get it. It's a tough call. I mean, even the jersey numbers are the same. But maybe the best way to settle this debate is to play it out head to head. I'll watch that.
Come on, Banky.
It's good stuff.
If that doesn't get you pumped up,
when I first saw it, I thought that before I saw what he was I thought he was calling out LeBron to go head to head.
That would be so dope.
Because that would be amazing. I thought he was like, hey, you know
Let's
what?
Go.
Everybody's talking. I literally thought it was for that. So funny.
But yeah, I saw that early Sunday evening, and I was like really upset about the game all the way leading up to it. And then I saw that, and I was like, yep, done. I've turned the page because I'm so excited. I can't wait for this game. Cannot wait for this game. It's gonna be baller. Let me tell you this right now, Banky.
You know how much tickets are for this game?
Yeah. When it came out, like in April, when the game was originally scheduled, I remember Rich Ryman at the Press Gazette. The cheap seats were $700. The cheap seats were $700.
Yeah, I think they're like $675.
That was
right
back
now.
In April. I can't imagine what they are now.
So that means that in the bowl is over 1,000.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Even Lambeau on playoffs doesn't always get like that.
Nope.
Because people don't like the cold.
It is cold, though.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, but let me point.
Tom Brady, 5 rings Brady is on our chat. You know what?
Who cares?
That's just a classic example of you got to have, you know, Boston fans
last
they
week,
have nothing
last week
to do
we
with
had
their
Rams
lives.
Rams fans join us. This, yeah. We have Patriots fans and welcome.
I guess
welcome
that means
everyone.
We're popular.
We're so popular.
We're the popular kids.
Let me address Tom Brady, 5 rings and whoever else is watching out there. Clip this, put it online, put it on your Twitter feeds. Packers are going to win the game on Sunday night. Do I ever do that, Banky?
No. No, but everybody's going to say you're a homer, but you never do that, which now I'm like, damn it.
Packers are going to win.
Of course they are.
Packers are going to win. And let me tell you why. Mike Pettine, he's got something for Tom Brady. And I know Tom's the GOAT and Tom's whatever, but
yeah.
Mike Pettine has a decent track record against Brady. And has shown that he knows how to dial a coverage. He knows how to dial things up where Brady kind of second guesses himself.
Yeah.
When he was with Rex Ryan, he did a great job in a lot of their matchups. Didn't always win them all, but he did a great job of making Brady see ghosts, making Brady kind of second guess himself, pull something double clutch, etc. And it's not a question of I think he's going to get the best of him. I think Tom's obviously going to get his. There's no doubt about it. But Pettine's going to do just enough. Just enough. Obviously, a big part of that is slowing down Gronk. Again, a guy who's going to get his.
Yeah.
It's like Todd Gurley last week. He's going to get his. Win or lose, Gronk is going to produce. There's no doubt about it. It's going to take a village to slow him down. Like, I've had so many people ask me this week, who checks Gronk? Who's on Gronk? No one person is checking Gronk.
No.
Funnily enough, when they met in 2014, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix was the guy who was on him a lot. Obviously, that's not an option this week. But I think you're going to see a lot of bracket coverage. You're going to roll coverage his way. They're going to make those other guys beat him. And, you know, the Patriots have a long history of those other guys winning.
Yeah.
I think the Packers will be up to that kind of challenge. And finally, you were talking about earlier, not enough dinking and dunking. I think we're going to see a healthy dose of dinking and dunking, much like this clip that from what we saw on Sunday. This is what I was talking about all week last week about the quick passing game being an extension of the running game. Roll it, Gaff. So you got Cobb there, slot, boom. This is 8 yards on first down. And you notice there's no back in the backfield, completely spread out. He's got an option to go up top or down below. He takes Cobb down below and gets 8 yards. I mean, that's a win. And that's a great way to move the football, especially if for whatever reason, I don't happen to agree with it, but for whatever reason, you don't want to feature Aaron Jones because you're afraid of him getting hurt or whatever. This is a great way. Spread it out. Quick passing game.
Yeah, but...
And when they start pressing up,
do you really think
take Devontae up
it?
Top.
Do you really think he's going to do it?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes, I do.
I have been burned by the lack... I have been burned this season by the lack of dink and dunk. I've been teased. We're teased. How many
Bamboozled.
Times... How many times did they do that against the Rams, really?
A few.
Eight.
A few. Not a lot. Not a ton. It wasn't a predominant part of the game plan.
When this team...
But it will be on Sunday night.
When this team wants to, it is a good team. It really is.
We'd like to be a good team now, please.
Too many times for whatever reason, and maybe what I hope is that I hope that by getting HaHa and Ty out, this team gels. Mm. Not that they, I'm not saying that they were the
malcontents.
Not
whatever,
saying that.
Blah, blah, blah.
But yep, a lot of times what could happen in an organization.
Galvanizing moment.
Yep. It can be that moment where it's like, guys, we're here to play a game. And have we decided that we're going to be together or not?
Right.
Because clearly Ty Montgomery's actions were not very team-like.
No. And it indicates he didn't feel like he was part of it.
Exactly.
HaHa has been very vocal about not being around next year, whether he was being facetious or not. Clearly been on his mind. Everyone forgets this past summer in the offseason when he wasn't required to show up, and so he didn't show up, and he said it was for a family member's funeral, etc., which was all true, but then he had the wink to Rob Domofsky's camera, which everyone's forgotten about. But, you know, HaHa was in a position where he knew there was a good likelihood that he was gone, and he knew he kind of wanted out. So I don't think it's any surprise that both of those players are gone, and I totally agree with you that this is a moment where the team could become a team. And I hate to reference anything Bears, but I just remember a Mike Ditka moment where he said, I think we became a team today. He said that ages ago. And, you know, we'll see if this is when the Packers become a cohesive fighting unit.
Well, and speaking of the Bears, the Packers are only a half game away from the NFC North.
Which is kind of crazy. I mean, you think they're 3-3-1.
Like, let's really talk about perspective here for a second.
Right.
NFC North is garbage, but hey, that's where we play.
The NFC North has gotten beaten up and beaten others up, but it's not garbage. You look at the AFC, you look at the Patriots division, that's garbage.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've just always considered the NFC North as kind of garbage.
I know, but that's the thing. These
Except
teams
us.
Are kind of tough now. They're beaten up. Like, the Vikings got rolled on Sunday night, but other than that, they've been pretty tough. I mean, they're a tough team. The Bears are much improved. Mm. The Lions are still the Lions, kind of, but they beat us. The
Bears suck.
Well, of course.
They're terrible.
Forever.
The other thing I want to say, I want to bring up, everybody gives me crap, and literally what's really hilarious is, like, people troll me on...
You?
They troll me on our punter's Instagram feed now.
Okay. Oh, no. Wait. What? How did I not have this for Blogosphere? What?
Yeah.
Wait, someone mentioned you on J.K. Scott's Instagram?
It's not on his. Yeah, it was something about J.K. Scott on Packers, and then they troll me. It's on my Instagram. And they like a little like, Corey Behnke. Oh, and they'll like at me. And so now amazing. He must. So here's something. And I watch. Okay. It's Tuesday night, right? Or is it
Wednesday.
Monday night?
It's Wednesday.
No.
Sunday night.
No, I mean the Appleton show.
Oh, Monday night.
Monday night. So Monday night's J.K.
Clubhouse
Scott
Live.
is the mystery guest
okay,
on
wait,
Clubhouse
wait.
Live.
Gaff, roll it. It's time.
Oh.
It's time. We're going to talk about this.
Oh. No.
This week is the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right! It's the return of This Week in the Packer Blogosphere. We just cut it off.
Hey, let's cut it out.
Return of that venerable series. Can I just say real quickly before we jump into it, someone's saying the Lions traded for a fat bastard and then they get rolled in the run game. Not when the fat bastard was in there. Check your stats, sir. When Snacks Harrison was in the game, they were much better. You just arrived, though, so they didn't play them all game.
Yeah. You gotta love a
Context
guy.
Context matters!
You gotta love a guy named Snacks.
Love Snacks Harrison.
It's just a great name.
So Monday night.
Can you make my nickname Snacks?
Sure thing.
Well, I'm kind of like...
Snack and a half.
Lil Snacks.
Right. Lil Snacks. Little bit of snacks. Little bit of snacks, Banky. Little bit of snacks. All right, so Monday night, J.K. Scott is on Clubhouse
Monday
Live.
Monday night.
Go.
J.K. Scott is the mystery guest with Josh Jones.
Like, what?
Holy moly.
How is he a mystery guest?
Like, so,
if it's Aaron Rodgers, yeah, that's a great mystery guest. But like J.K. Scott? Is your mystery guest?
So what's really funny is, I put this on Twitter. If you watch, go back and watch that show. Mm-hmm. You can watch it on VOD, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you
have to search for it, though. They don't pub it out at all.
Okay, well, anyway. One, there's three things I want to say. Okay. One, I do not understand how Clubhouse Live gets that low of viewership with a Packers player.
It's crazy.
It's insane to me. Yeah. It's a good show. I love it. I love watching
the guys
it.
Do a great job hosting it.
Yep.
Like, it's
Brett,
a really good
Brett
show.
Does a great job, and I'm not talking
Ricardo,
shit about that show.
No, they are great.
They're really good.
No. Let me just say, because I want to agree wholeheartedly, because I've been there. I've watched them do it. They're incredible. Like, and it doesn't matter who the player is. Yep. It doesn't matter who the guest is.
And it's better than, like...
It's so good.
It's better than local television shows.
It's better than half the Packers shows.
Inside the Huddle or whatever,
all
like...
stuff around the stadium.
Because all that stuff... All of it. All that stuff is some, like, pretty boy anchor who's with, like, a Packer player who you want to watch, and the pretty boy anchor is like...
Won't shut up.
The pretty boy anchor won't shut up, and the pretty boy anchor doesn't give a crap about the fans, and you can tell. They're, like, on their little high horse, and I can't stand them, and I could name a bunch of people, but you all know who I'm talking about.
But Clubhouse Live is legit.
Clubhouse Live, and they have the greatest fans, Mean Jeans, on there.
Mean Jeans. Love,
like,
Mean Jeans.
So Josh Jones, the second thing is, so Josh Jones, God help him. He was trying so hard. He is trying so hard. So J.K. Scott is talking. Now, the third thing I want to say is I pretty much think that I want to marry J.K. Scott's grandmother because she's like one of the greatest Packer fans of all times, the way he talks about it.
Right.
Like, it sounds like me and his grandmother would be getting
along really well.
Fine. So he was telling some really great stories.
Have you thought a little bit on J.K.
No, I'm
going to
tell
Scott?
You that in a second.
Oh, no.
So seriously,
poor grandma.
So J.K. Scott starts talking about the mechanics of punting. Oh,
good Lord.
Holy wow. Paint is drying in front of Josh Jones' eyes. He is trying. He's like going like this. He's like,
oh my God. Oh my God.
You can watch him like falling asleep. You can watch him getting bored. You can literally watch the paint drying. So then I want to say one thing. So I, as a person, I'm not hating on J.K. Scott.
As a human. Right.
As a human being, dude, he literally seems like a dude you could just get along with.
He's very nice.
I don't want to hate on him, but I just want to bring up one last nugget from the show.
Oh, dear.
The Packers are currently 21st in the league in punting.
Yikes.
That is a fail.
Let me tell you, too.
That is a fail.
So, Heckert, his counterpart there from the Rams on Sunday, had his bad punt in the first quarter. J.K. Scott had his bad punt in the fourth quarter when they needed the best punt possible. They needed a boomer, they needed a field flipper, and they got a 25-yarder.
Oh, Lord.
They spent a fifth-round pick on that.
This is the thing, and you made a really good point, okay? You made a really good point. It's not even cold yet.
Yeah, no, that was 80 degrees. That was 80 degrees in L.A., What happens when we get to late November in Lambeau? What happens in late December in Lambeau?
And again, we're talking about punting, so I'm sorry about that.
Talk about depressing subjects. I got something depressing for
you. My mom's going to turn off the feed.
I got something depressing for you, Ben. Actually, it's kind of hilarious as well. Some intrepid fan brought this to my attention on Twitter earlier today, and it was too fantastic to ignore. This is a little throwback for you. Of Ty Montgomery back in the day. Just watch. Roll it, Gaff.
31 second touchdown drive there.
Well, there's Ty Montgomery at Stanford.
Patience on the defense.
Now, granted, this is in the second quarter, so it's not game deciding. But there he is, ready to take out the old run back on the old kickoff.
First four possessions for Oklahoma State, an interception and three punts.
Oklahoma State kicking off now. Here comes Ty Montgomery deep in the end zone. I'm going to bring it out. His teammate has to tackle him. His teammate tackles him in the end zone. And is like, nah, dog. Nah. Thanks, Gav. I mean... You can't do anything but laugh. Because obviously now he's not even a Packer, he's dumb.
Why didn't special teams coach have that play? Why didn't they call that play?
I think they will from now on.
You need a checker. You need a bouncer.
You know how like coaching staffs have like get back guys? They have a get back coach who are like charged, especially in college, they have these guys who are charged with literally their only job is to make sure the coaching staff doesn't get all excited and get on the field.
Yeah, get on the field.
Like you have to get back.
The get back.
They need a get back guy on kickoff return who is literally his only job is to make sure Montgomery doesn't come out of the end zone. I mean, that's in Baltimore, obviously, because the Packers don't have to worry about it anymore. I just thought that was brilliant. I mean, Ty Montgomery. Kickoff return. A folly waiting to happen. You got anything else, Banky?
No.
All right. Packers are going to beat the Pats.
Let's do it.
Book it.
We're going to be watch party. Oh, Friday we have Madden.
Madden Friday. Hey, how did I do? A little better?
A little better.
A little better?
You paid attention more.
I will say this.
I also helped you with the latency.
No, but you helped me with the latency, but I will say this about the Madden thing. You wanted me to take it more serious. You wanted to pay more attention to it and be more like what involved, invested, whatever. But then all you do throughout the entire game is like give me questions like, oh, Leroy Butler or Nick Collins.
That's fun though.
No, because it like totally takes me out. There's like no concentration on like I convert a big third down and like, okay, that's great. BJ Raji or Cullen Jenkins. Like, can I get a little props for picking up the big third down if I'm supposed to be all invested?
I only was not. That's all I'm saying. I actually watched it saying. Back. There's only a couple times where I didn't that's pay attention, saying. And it was two critical things, but it was only a couple only. Times. Also, we got the watch party Sunday night. Maybe we'll have more viewers.
Maybe. National game. Nothing else going on. Watch us watch the game.
Yep.
Hope to see you all there. Cheesehead TV. Check it out. Facebook, YouTube. All of it, YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Lots of goodness for you. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connected with us across the internet, be it here at Cheesehead TV or any of our social channels. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?